Hey guys, welcome to the Leverage Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about our fucked up Western society, all the stupid ideologies and dating conundrums that it's caused, and why it's better to live outside of the U.S., and what to do if you do live in the U.S., if you don't want to be a complete fail when it comes to dating, love, and sex. The first thing I kind of want to talk about is my childhood, not to bore you guys, but I'm pretty typical of what a lot of guys kind of experience growing up. You know, if you're born between, I don't know, 75 and 95, to baby boomers, maybe a little earlier, those days can change, but, you know, anything post 1970 or 1975, you can probably relate to this, which I'm guessing almost everyone on this call is. So I grew up in, I had an amazing childhood. My mom was, she was great mom. She instilled the values of be a gentleman, be a mensch, be a nice Jewish boy, be really sweet to women, treat them with respect. My dad, awesome dad, provided for the family, coached my soccer teams, was around, you know, great father, no complaints about either parents. They did an amazing job. However, my dad never taught me anything about chicks or banging them. And all of the advice that I got from my mom allowed me to bang pretty much none of them and was asked backwards of anything I needed to do in order to bang girls. So, can anyone on this call relate to that?
For sure. 100%. Especially the good Jewish boy part.
The good Jewish boy part, right. So this is how most guys kind of grow up. If they have a normal childhood, a healthy childhood. So most people who had a normal childhood, who grew up to be, you know, healthy members of our society, who don't have a lot of emotional problems, who didn't have abusive parents, they usually grow up to be nice guys. And they get no sex, and they play video games and sports and jerk off a lot. And they can't figure out why these damn girls will always fuck these assholes, but they won't fuck them. Now, let's take a different type of guy. Let's take a guy with maybe comes from a broken home, but he has a abusive father or a father who kind of talks shit to him, treats him, you know, that certainly doesn't instill, like, you know, be a gentleman to woman, doesn't spend a lot of time with him, isn't around, doesn't care for his mom, doesn't give a fuck. And a mom who generally is just, you know, not super supportive either. So this kid will grow up to, in essence, emulate what he's experienced in his life. And I'm not a psychologist or a therapist, so this, none of this is like scientific data, but it's all backed up by a lot of research and by a lot of experience. So you take a guy like that, what does he do? Well, he learns from his dad that, hey, it's okay to treat mom like shit. Hey, it's no big deal to like not provide for the family. I don't really need to feel empathy for other people. I don't need to treat people with respect. I don't need to give a fuck about what they think of me. That's just not important. I just need to, you know, fucking get money, get paid, yo. And guess what? These guys are the ones that end up getting all the pussy. These are the ones that grow up to be bad boys. They grow up to basically not give women any attention, ignore them, make fun of them, treat them like crap, and women fucking love this.
I would like to add, though, that these guys are not necessarily all the time the ideal kind of guys. They experience pain in other areas of their life. They tend to abuse people, be abusive. So it's not like, you know, they are the absolute ideal. They just
of course
are
not ideal.
Getting chicks.
Of course they're not ideal. They're fucked 7 ways from Sunday, but they can bang a lot of pussy, that's for sure. So let's talk about women for a second. how do girls learn about attraction, what they should or shouldn't do? Well, if you look at like the two sexual icons in today's day and age, for men, you have Dan Blazarian. He shoots a lot of guns, fucks a lot of chicks, is incredibly conceited, arrogant, narcissistic, and the more he is of those things, the more bitches want to fuck him. Let's take like another super sex icon, Kim Kardashian. Every dude wants to fuck her because she has a ginormous ass, a hot face, an incredible sex appeal. And they still want to fuck her, even though she acquired her fame by being a whore in a sex video. yet, I'm sure everyone on this call would jump at the opportunity to slide it in her, right? So, how do girls kind of grow up learning what sort of guys they should be attracted to? Well, if you look at all of the social media and Instagram and all that shit in today's day and age, you know, I mean, you tell me, babe, like girls aspire to be essentially like whores.
You know? Yeah. Well, I was just thinking in my head, I probably am not the best person to talk about this because I've always felt, you know, like I'm kind of an outlier on the edges of society looking at all the idiots, all the girls who think, you know, acting a certain way is going to get them guys when really it only gets them sex. They don't realize, you know, they have to be a little smarter about it to get what they want. And I feel like I've always understood that from a pretty young age, around 14, 15, I started to kind of do my own thing. And I think that I developed into a pretty unique, special person, but that's not the majority.
Do you think that's a function of your dad being like a huge player and essentially like, you almost grew up in that family that I
think it's a product mentioned. Of getting to grow up in a really progressive city in California, having really being lucky with my friends that I surrounded myself with and being genetically blessed and able to figure it out on my own. You know, I didn't grow up in bumfuck Michigan, you know, paying attention to the TV most of the time and letting other people decide what's cool. We decided what was cool. We set the trends. I remember that, always thinking how lucky I was.
Well, you were lucky in the sense that you genetically, you know, won the lottery and you're hot. And you know, as a girl, attraction is a lot easier for girls than it is for guys. If you want to be attractive to guys, be in good shape, know how to dress, know how to carry yourself, know how to wear high heels.
And you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah, and guys will suck your dick for eternity.
Which is why there's so many stupid girls out there. You know, there's no need for them to be any better. Guys will suck their dicks if they're hot.
Yeah. For a guy, we don't really understand that. Like, I thought when I was, you know, up until the age of, like, 22, I thought guys are born with game or they have none, like me, and all that matters is really how good looking they are. I assumed that attraction worked the same both ways, meaning, you know, because who I had to look to was my college roommate who is 6'5", blue eyes, dark hair, chiseled, fucking six-pack surfer, and all that guy did was pull ass pretty much any time. He never worked for it. Girls just threw him numbers and sex, and it was like the easiest thing ever. Well, I never fucking got laid or got the scraps. So I didn't realize until, you know, basically the idea of game came around that, oh, wow, you can actually improve with this stuff. And attraction isn't just about looks. It's way more about personality and the million other things that go in it as a guy. It's a lot easier for a guy to become more attractive if he's starting from zero than a girl. You know, he can move from zero to like 10. If a girl starts at zero, she can't really move much higher than maybe a 4. So it's a, you know, you guys should all be lucky that you're dudes, because in that sense, there's room for improvement. Or you could also take the other side of the coin and be like, well, there's nothing better than being a young, hot 19-year-old smoke show because you literally have the world handed to you. So guess what? As they get older, it tends to even out. So there's a silver lining and everything. So what most girls do between the ages of, I don't know, 16 to 26 is they fuck somewhere between the range of 15 to 75 typical asshole dudes, right? Either the guys, like I mentioned, like my roommate, the guys I mentioned earlier that, like, you know, just kind of naturally evolved into an asshole by emulating their family dynamic. Chicks will fuck these dudes in droves. And after fucking like 75 of them and figuring out, why won't any of these guys be my boyfriend? They'll finally wisen up and be like, you know, I gotta stop dating players. I gotta start dating assholes. I need a nice, sweet guy. I need a guy who will care for me, a guy I can start a family with and raise kids with. So she'll find one of these fucking nice guys, what I was destined to be to become if I didn't get into this shit. They'll find, you know, a guy around 27 or 28, maybe 30. He's made some money. He did all the things he was supposed to do, treated women with respect, went to college, went to grad school, got a great job as a doctor or a lawyer, couldn't get much pussy. And, you know, she'll flash her pussy in his face and tell her that she's, you know, she's just not ready for sex yet, but, you know, pretty soon she'll want to do it. She'll make him wait, you know, between 6 and 30 dates, and finally she'll fuck him. And then from there on out, he'll rarely get sex. She'll have headaches and be too tired most of the time.
It's so messed up. And these are our options.
And that pathetic fucking loser, you know, God bless his soul, will think, wow, I got this hot chick and she lets me fuck her, and have no idea that this fucking whore took 29 dicks in her ass in 3 weeks, had threesomes galore, did a whole shitload of drugs, got flown to Paris, got flown all over the fucking world, and swallowed buckets of cum.
Yeah, and is now going to turn into a total cunt.
And
they stay hot for maybe 4 or 5 years. They have a baby. Their lives become about the baby. And the guy is doomed to being in an unhappy marriage until he finally gets sick of it, has a midlife crisis, and maybe has an epiphany around the age of 45 or 50, and then can start a second life.
And by the
that
time
bitch
she's,
gets divorced.
Yeah, and she's exploited him for all of his resources.
Yeah.
So this wasn't the case for, you know, a lot of our parents, and certainly not our grandparents. They grew up in a much different society that wasn't, you know, that wasn't touting the Dan Blazerians and Kim Kardashians of the world. The attraction triggers and mechanisms were a lot different. And we didn't face this humongous problem that we have today in post-feminist Western society. So, you know, this is a culture that has basically been sprung about by feminists, and this is why it's such a fucking pain in the ass and just conundrum why most of us don't get laid, especially in high school, college, and in our 20s. So let's talk about feminism and the impacts of feminism and why Western society is so fucked by feminism when it comes to dating. I'm not an expert on feminism, but I do know the impact when it comes to dating, attraction, seduction. What feminism resulted in was a bunch of women who changed their ideology from, I should be feminine, I should be sweet, I should be subservient, to I should be in charge, I should run the show, I don't need a man, I can get by on my own.
We went from one extreme to another. And in reality, neither extreme is ideal. Women, I think, have taken it overboard a little bit. We've gotten too cocky, too bossy, too self-righteous. We're not feminine anymore as much as we could be. And it's a real travesty. I kind of consider myself an anti-feminist, and I'm a bit scared to talk about it in any environment outside of, you know, inner confidence, really, or people associated with it, because I always get bashed, you know? And we need to find a middle ground again, in my opinion.
For sure. And that's going to take a really long time, because the roots of feminism are like, you know, there's a lot of societies and even like some parts of Western Europe, where it's becoming more westernized and worse and worse and worse. But if you look at areas of the world that didn't experience feminism, Eastern Europe, Southeast Asia, these sort of places, you have a much different dating dynamic over there. If you go to Belgrade, Serbia, or Kiev, Ukraine, or Odessa, or Riga, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Czech Republic, like if you go to these places, women are extremely feminine. They don't have any of these ridiculous attitudes. They're smoking hot. They dress well. They know that you know, men are providers typically, and it's the woman's job to, you know, cook, clean, take care of their man, help for that.
I love that.
And
they probably have the most amazing sex.
And here there's a lot of guys who unfortunately think that, you know, they're like, ooh, I'm really attracted to a woman with a quick wit who can, like, you know, put me in check and tell me what's up. And I promise you this, if you date a feminine smoke show who doesn't do that at all, you will be way happier fucking that girl than you will with a ball busting cunt who wants to put you in check all the time. It's a huge kind of issue that's going on in Western civilization. I don't really see it getting better. I see it getting worse.
As I said before, you want a middle ground. You want to find a woman who has both. I have a strong personality, and I don't take 1 second to not put some dumb motherfucker in check out on the street, but I reserve something different for my relationship.
Well, Genevieve's an interesting case. Let's talk about her for a little, because what I find so attractive about Genevieve is she has the ability to embody the post-feminist kind of nightmare chick that, you know, that guys basically, you know, face all the time in certain bars. But if you're a dude who understands these things like I do, and who can relate to her in a different way, and who can be very masculine around her, that side is way less likely to come out. And there's nothing more satisfying for me than hearing her talk about the fucking pussies that she's dated before. And Genevieve doesn't fall into the category of a girl who dated a gazillion assholes and then decided she wants to find a nice guy. What'd you sleep with, like 7 or 8 guys before we started dating? Like
9.
Okay. And, you mostly have like long-term relationships. So, you know, occasionally you can meet one of these chicks, but they're very rare, because it's so rare for them to not get brainwashed by the mumbo jumbo that they're told. You know, you read a copy of the book, The Rules. Jesus golly. Good luck. Good luck with that chick. It's amazing how entitled these girls are. And on the flip side, it's amazing how fucking beaten down, pussy whipped, nice and pathetic most guys are. You know, I'm not bashing women here. I'm equally bashing guys, or I am bashing them, but I'm equally bashing guys. You know, the opposite of a cunt is a nice guy. And if you're a nice guy and your strategy is to go out there and compliment women, put them on a pedestal, do nice things for them, buy them flowers before fucking them, any of the traditional taboo things that are pushed on us by our society, good luck. You ain't gonna fuck any of them. So instead, if you started like I did, then you need to learn to embody the characteristics of an alpha male who doesn't give a fuck. You need to essentially become the kid who who was raised in that fucked up childhood, and have that skill set that he kind of naturally developed. You need to be able to have the skill set of an asshole. And that's not an easy or a short process.
But what's great is that a lot of you guys started out as one way and are now learning how to become another way. So in essence, you have the best of both worlds. If you understand these things, you know, you have the power. You're in a much better spot than most other guys out there. And if the more familiar you become with these concepts, the more you can meet a girl who is open-minded and kind of teach her a better way to be, which is an advantaged position, I think.
So let's talk about some of the different sort of experiences that occur when you, you know, basically make this transition and you start dating girls who are in essence very feminine, very open-minded, willing to let the man lead. You can do things like have a lot of threesomes. You can be in open relationships. You can be a swinger. You can do crazy shit. And from your perspective, Genevieve, why would you do that with one guy versus another?
Because one guy is stronger and smarter than the other, and I would be much more motivated by one guy than by another. You know, I wouldn't have necessarily thought to seek a guy out and, you know, embark on this crazy adventure that me and you have been on for the last 2 years. I don't think I would have thought to do that, you know?
I mean, I paved the way, right?
You just
followed me there. And basically I did that by simply being unapologetic about what I wanted, and showing her that I wasn't going to judge her for doing any of these things that society looks down upon. And by making it fun, by having a interesting, crazy lifestyle, by being explorative, all those things,
dynamic.
So it's crazy to me that there's so many guys that exist who, you know, I play hockey with these guys every week. You know, we'll be like, hey, we got a game on Friday at 7:30, and you'll hear half the guys be like, oh, I can't make that, man. You know, wife's going to have me by the balls if I play that game. And I'm thinking, you fucking loser. If I want to go play fucking hockey, I'm playing hockey. Like,
that's unbelievable to me.
And like, hey, man, you want to come out? Like, we're all going to go out and grab drinks. No, I can't. My girlfriend will be mad. She doesn't like when I go out with my friend. That sounds like fun. Good life there. And they're happy with that. They're satisfied with that. And they worship these fucking miserable bitches that exploit them for their resources, cheat on them with other alpha male dudes, and don't give a fuck. So it's pretty sad how this has happened. You can thank feminism for that. And everyone on this call and everyone listening should do everything in their power to avoid becoming a basic bro and dating basic bitches in Western civilization. And instead, you should take some trips to Eastern Europe, experience the amazingness of what other cultures have to offer, and understand that it doesn't have to be this one way. So a really interesting thing that I want to touch on next, and for any of you guys that are coming on the Euro trip, is the difference in game in Western cultures versus post-feminist cultures versus more, you know, normalized, you know, non-feminist cultures like Eastern Europe, South America, these sorts of places. So for one, the first time I went to Europe, I traveled around for 3 months. I think I went to like 20 countries, and, you know, I started in England and, fucked a bunch of chicks over there, had pretty good success. Using pretty much the same game I developed for gaming American chicks. Don't compliment them. Be a little cocky. Make fun of them. Don't buy them drinks until it's obvious that they're giving you a lot of investment, or don't buy them drinks at all. Don't take them to dinner. Basically, treat them like shit until you fuck them. And then do the minimal amount you can to continue fucking them without, you know, having to have any sort of commitment, and string them along as long as possible until you're sick of having sex with them. So I got really fucking good at that. I had a nice little squad, you know, a harem 10 girls deep that I could call anytime, come over, fuck me, and then leave. You know, I could go out one night, fuck a chick, kick her out, and have another harem member come over. And it's really important that every guy, I think, experiences that. You know, some will say it's shallow or it's this or it's that, but hey, that's our society. And trust me, girls are doing it too. So if you're not, you're just an average schmuck who is going to get walked all over. So, you know, that's a super empowering, important thing to have. And you can call them like, you know, notches on a bedpost. You can take that shit to the bank. You know, when I think back on all my harem and the fucking chicks I smashed and traveling around, you know, Europe and fucking different girls from different countries, like, that gives me a lot of satisfaction. I guarantee if you line up 100 guys and have them answer that question honestly, it would give all of them satisfaction too. So don't go saying Robbie's some sort of monster. That's just how it is. Just like any girl would get immense satisfaction about the fact that she locked down a millionaire, had a couple kids with him, has a gazillion Louis Vuitton and Prada purses, and, you know, thinks she's the shit, right? These are the things that our society, you know, finds to be valuable. And that's not really up to us, right? Sure, I could go live in a fucking dairy and meditate and all that shit, but that doesn't sound very good to me. So
I also think it's important, you know, for everybody to get an opportunity to experience this thing, but it shouldn't be what your whole life is all about. Hence why, you know, Robbie doesn't have as big of a harem now. He has me, but, you know, he still has a few girls that he sees now and again. It's about balancing what you want in life and figuring out your own version of
it. I have a way bigger harem now, babe. We got the hanger, a harem of swinger friends. So anyways, you know, this shit is obviously fun. And as I moved through Europe, as I continued east, what I found was the girls were a lot more sweet. They were also super intelligent, but they weren't ball busters. They weren't like pushing their intelligence on you. You know, you can be intelligent. You could be a lawyer or a doctor as a woman, and you can still be incredibly feminine. You don't need to be, you know, this, you don't need to be like, well, I'm a lawyer, so I don't need a guy, because obviously that's bullshit. You do still want a guy. You want that shit. So, I found that my style of game, which was, you know, pretty hardcore to deal with these American chicks, was blowing me out a lot of the time. And I at first I was like, this is weird. You know, I tease these girls and they get upset and then they leave and they call me a jerk. But wait, I thought girls like jerks. So I had to make a lot of changes to what I was doing. I had to be way less polarizing. Basically, when I went to countries like Croatia, Hungary, my game was to be essentially a nice guy, but also a guy who was comfortable with physical escalation. So didn't tease them, wasn't cocky, wasn't arrogant. All I did was connect with them, have a nice conversation, and also show them that I was interested in sex. And guess what? I got laid a lot there too. Met some really awesome chicks. And it's so different over there. Here in the U.S., women are taught to, like, you know, the dream is to lock a guy down, have kids, have that white picket fence, live happily ever after, and acquire material possessions. Over there, it's very normal for a chick to have a fuck buddy, a husband, and a dude who's essentially her, what's the word? Her sponsor. So a guy who she fucks who also pays her. It's very normal and not looked on as weird for a chick in Ukraine to have that. So typically have one guy that she fucks for pleasure, like a young dude. And this is girls in their like early 20s, mid 20s, and then a steady boyfriend, and then a sponsor who she'll fuck every once in a while. In exchange, she'll give her money and she uses that money to survive. You know, it's just how it is over there. It's not a post-feminist culture. So, you know, I guess that's the end of my rant, but let's open it up for questions. Let me know what you guys got. Fire away.
I have a question.
Sure.
So for the guys who may, you know, be struggling to find a girl like me, but they do have a girlfriend that they see and they have some flexibility to, like, see other girls, do you feel like, how are they supposed to juggle, you know, a more normal girlfriend with all the other stuff that they want to accomplish that you just went over?
I mean, if you're like me and you have an insane sex drive, then I don't think you're going to be happy with that girl. I think on some level you're settling. And if you're not able to do those things that will slowly eat at you as time goes on, then why not level up, get rid of that girl and find a girl who is a perfect fit for what you want, because that'll make you a lot happier. And trust me, I've been in that situation, fuck, I don't know, 8 times before I met Genevieve. Like, you know, either I had a girlfriend who I didn't, you know, either I had to cheat on her if I wanted to do those things, if I wanted to travel and chase after women, and I'd always get caught. And I didn't like, you know, I hated all the drama, or some sort of situation that wasn't exactly ideal. But you know, if you can find the ideal situation, like, there is no reason why you can't. It's going to take some hard work and perseverance, but you absolutely can find it. And you know, the faster you kind of develop yourself into the guy who can get it, the faster that'll come. And the process of that is a fucking hell of a lot of fun too.
So earlier on in the conversation, you were mentioning that, hey, you're going to be an asshole, right? What exactly does that mean?
Well, in Western civilization, post-feminist society, you'll be way more likely to get vagina by being an asshole than by being a nice guy. So you certainly know that, or, you know, anyone who's been a client of mine long enough, that I don't teach any of you guys to be assholes. I teach you how to embody the characteristics that assholes have without being an asshole. Like, there's a difference between being cocky and being arrogant, right? One is funny, mm-hmm. and one is douchey. Arrogance is a douchey label, right? You're a lot more likely to fuck chicks if you're arrogant than if you're really nice and sweet, but it's still cringeworthy. So you don't have to be an asshole, but I was kind of using that more tongue-in-cheek, because way more often girls will usually say, like, God, I can only fuck assholes. You know, the only guys I date are assholes. And they may be assholes for reasons that I wouldn't categorize as assholes. Like, for me, like, if I meet a chick, take her out on a date, maybe bang her on the second date, bang her one more time in a short period of time to kind of solidify that relationship, and then I'll see her once every 7 to 10 days with no intention of ever having a relationship with her unless she's fucking awesome. And if not, I'll use her for sex as long as I don't get bored of her, which will usually take 3 to 6 months, and that'll be that. Does that make me an asshole? No, because I'm honest about what I'm doing. I'm not sugarcoating it. I'm not beating around the bush or telling her something else. I'm leading with my actions. And yeah, all of her friends are going to call me an asshole because society has labeled me an asshole because of the lovely feminists running around. But hey, she keeps fucking me. And if she wants to keep fucking an asshole, then that's her prerogative. So I'm not going to feel bad about that. And I guarantee she's out there being a whore. So we're all assholes and we're all whores, or we're all wannabe assholes and wannabe whores. And that's how it goes.
Okay. So you're not exactly saying to, like, start doing mean things and start cursing people, right?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Like, let's take anger for example. So anger is an emotion that can really help you to get a girl to want to continue sleeping with you, or it can really hurt you. If you get angry in an interaction with a girl before you fucked her, odds are you will never fuck her. If you get angry after you fucked her 2 or 3 times and, you know, she's attracted to you, she will probably get more attracted to you. for example, let's say I'm at a bar, a girl won't give me her number or she won't go home with me, and I tell her she's a bitch and get angry. I'm never sleeping with that girl, ever. Being salty and angry is the worst thing you can do. Let's say I've been fucking a girl for 3 times and she flakes on me. And when she texts me, hey, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to make it in time, can we hang out tomorrow? I might text her back, nah, I'm good. I don't like to, you know, give people my time who shit on my time. She's going to go, oh my God, wait, this guy, fuck, he might not have sex with me anymore. I really like this guy. I want him to be my boyfriend. She's going to respond really positively to that, and she's going to fall in line. So there's an example where anger is going to help me and it's going to hurt me. So, you know, you got to keep those things in mind. There's, you know, it's not always as simple as we'd hope it would be.
Is that like an extreme example, or is like, would you actually send that text? Like,
oh, I 100% would send that text.
Okay.
If a girl flakes,
when you say flake, like just doesn't, like sends a text like a half hour before saying I can't make it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
If she lit my time on fire, you know, like if I had plans with her and we were like consistently hooking up and she flaked on me 30 minutes before, I guarantee there's something else I could have been doing. I'm going to fucking yell at her for that because
yeah,
she's disrespecting me. And every time you let someone disrespect you and you don't say anything about it, a little piece of you dies. Every time you let someone manipulate you and you don't call them out, a little piece of you gets weaker. And call them out on that shit, you get stronger. You become more confident. You give less of a fuck. But you have to pick your battles. Like, if a chick disrespects me that I'm trying to pick up, you know, me getting mad is the worst thing I could do because that's not going to lead to the result I'm trying to create. Like, if I know there's no chance with her, then yeah, maybe I'll fucking yell at her and call her a bitch or a cunt or, you know, see you next Tuesday. If I know it's already dead, but even then, like, I usually hold my tongue, or I'll tell her in a way that she'll actually hear. Cause if you just call someone a bitch or a cunt or an asshole or fuck you, they're not going to hear anything you're saying. They're going to get defensive and they're going to attack back, or they're just going to get sad and run away. So, you know, you don't get any satisfaction from that other than, you know, just basically, you know, having a temper tantrum. So instead I would call her out in a way where she can actually hear me. I'll be like, you know, I'm sure you get a lot of satisfaction out of, you know, making fun of loser guys and acting all entitled and, you know, getting free drinks and getting these guys to suck your dick. But guess what? I'm not that type of guy, and I'm not going to fall for your shit. So good luck on the rest of these fucking clowns. Have a good night. And that's going to seem a lot worse than, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah.
That might actually get the, you know, that's actually giving her value in a way where she's going to be like, oh, wow, maybe I shouldn't be such a bitch. Maybe I should treat people to respect.
Yeah.
Like a real common thing that I used to get, I'd approach girls. I'm sure what I was doing was pretty cringeworthy. And they'd be like, sorry, I'm a lesbian. There was nothing more annoying than hearing the I'm a lesbian line. Like these dumb fucking bitches love to throw that out there. And they think guys are falling for it. So I never fell for it, but I also never said anything. I didn't know what to say. So I heard a buddy of mine say it and I stole the line and, basically what it was is they'd tell me they're a lesbian. I'd be like, oh yeah, huh? That's funny. So you guys are lesbians. Do I look like every other fucking faggot in this bar? Do I look like I was born yesterday? You don't think I've ever heard I'm a lesbian before? Well, let's just be honest. I get it that you would rather have me die in a grease fire than fucking say another word to you. But give me the respect by telling me that you're not attracted to me or you're fucking seeing someone or whatever. But don't tell me you're a fucking lesbian. That's just pathetic. And then I walk away. So. All right, guys. Good shit. I'll talk to you guys Sunday. Later.